You ever had those days where you lose hope? I didn't think so. I knew you wouldn't. But sometimes what happens is life has a way of getting to us, right? And I'm not saying you lose hope and you lose hope in God, but you just, it's really hard to thrive. And over the past couple of weeks, what I'm trying to do is pull out scriptures and thoughts that have helped me and will help me and do help me. Because sometimes it's really hard to thrive in life. Between getting old, health issues, things going on in the news and the world, it's really hard because to thrive, you tend to have to put energy out and get involved with things. And what happens is when all that comes in, you kind of just, do you ever find yourself kind of turning into a little bit of a ball? And it's kind of a ball of protection. And you keep, I'll call it the think spiral. And before long, you just, what is this all about? Lord, just take me right now. Hopefully you've never had those prayers. I have. Lord, just take me right now. I don't want to go any farther in this world. Because, you know, you get this feeling right now, it's kind of unprecedented in my life. The level of hopelessness that I see around me. And I'm not talking you. I'm saying the people that I deal with. And all that, I haven't seen this level where it's like, it's going to, excuse my language, hell in a handbasket, and I don't know if I want to be on this train. The hopelessness. Along with that comes depression. I won't ask how many people you know are on antidepressants, but I do know that the United States is at an all-time record for the number of people on antidepressants, and the United States alone gives more antidepressants out than the entire world does in 5 years. I looked at that. Wow. Now, that was a little older information, but I'm like, wow. And part of it is we have a medical system that can do that, and a lot of the world doesn't have it. But you get frustration. When you're frustrated, it's really hard when you feel frustrated with things around you to do anything on the outside. Usually the sign of frustration is you just stop, right? When you get frustrated, like, I don't have a lot of feeling in my fingers on this side. And some of the things that I have to try to fix have these tiny, tiny little screws. And they get this tiny, tiny little screwdriver to put this tiny, tiny little screw in this tiny, tiny little hole. And what you do is you try to do it, and where'd it go? And then because my hearing's not good, I know that gravity took over, and it's somewhere below where I was trying to put in. I look on the floor, because my eyesight's not like it was. I find a flashlight and hopefully it shines. I find a screw, go up there, I try it again. And I give it a good shot 3 or 4 times. After the 4th time, I'm thinking, I wonder if super glue will hold it. But you get frustrated. But the level of frustration, the hopelessness, depression, and I'll say mental illness that falls into it has never been higher in my lifetime in the world that we're living in now with what we have so much of. Well, what causes it? Is it the news media? You know, is it simply the news media is making us more aware of what's actually happening? And we're not as ignorant as our grandparents were. Yeah, I'm sure that's a part of it. How about the internet? Well, the internet has definitely got us communicating so much more with one another. And not everybody, but that social media is out there. And that's just sharing more intimate details, more intimate problems, more situations. And it just, you know, what it does is, yeah, it can be good, but is it social media's ability to suck you into the drama and suck all your living life right out of you? You know, because if you try to say something that you even believe in on social media, so many times somebody comes up and attacks you for it. And I don't know about you, I just hate being attacked. You can say you got thin, you know, I always say, people come up and say you got to have thick skin. No, you don't. We got the same thinness of skin. It's really thin. All we do is we have different levels of face control, right? Somebody attacks you, you might say, that doesn't bother me at all, but inside you're shaking. But is it the internet? Is it social media? Is it the news? Is it what's happening? Is it the escalation of Satan's attacks on you and me? Satan is on a full court press attacking us through every avenue that is available to it, because he wants to destroy your hope, because that will lead to the destruction of your soul if you walk away. And not only if you walk away from God and your life begins to self-destruct, it's that we don't share the hope with others. Well, I think, which one is it? It's all of the above. We're living in a crazy age, but we're living in an age that's awesome. Okay? We really are. If you want to get your points out there, it's so easy to get information out to a lot of people. It's so easy to travel around. I mean, it's never been easier to get in your car and go somewhere. We complain about the price of gas, but in reality, with inflation over the last 50 years, the price of gas is really cheap compared to what it was 50 years ago. We just wish the price of gas is what it was 50 years ago with the money we have now. We want to thrive, amen? You know, and you see, we have all these outside influences that are kind of sucking the life out of us. They're giving us a feeling of hopelessness, and then compound it with the things that happen to you. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a wealth issue. Maybe it's a conflict or relationship. What can we do? And that's kind of where I've been thinking over the past week. What can I share that will help you survive the craziness that's out there, that's at a level, the suicide level in the United States has never, ever, ever been this high per 100,000. And it's not close. In the last 5 years especially, it's just been going crazy. What can I do that you, I don't want any of you to feel that way, and I want to give you something that you can give to somebody if you see that they just can't pull themselves out and begin to thrive. And they're getting so frustrated and they're starting to feel hopeless. I want to give you something. Don't lose your hope. First to you, and then what you can share to others. Don't lose your hope in God. Okay? Trust in God and don't loosen your grip on Him. No matter what the world is doing out there to try to distract you away, don't lose your grip. Don't lose your focus on God. Like the virgins, the 10 virgins that were out there, 5 wise, 5 unwise. 5 of them kept focused and made sure they were always ready. 5 of them got distracted by the world. They knew that the bridegroom was coming. They just lost their focus and they weren't ready. I'm not giving you a lip service today. I'm not just, this isn't something I read and I thought, well, that's a good message I'm going to share with you. Not at all. I'm there with you. I have the same issues. And I, when it comes down to it, one of the hardest things for me to do is to take my own advice. Right? A wise man once told me years ago, you want to be successful in life? Take your own advice. I remember the first time my wife was sitting in on a pre-marriage counseling session because I had, you know, she was going to share something. And all of a sudden, I'm telling this couple how to be a perfect couple. Right? The looks that my wife gave me were, it wasn't confirming that I was there yet. But I want us to own stuff that we can thrive in the environment, the destructive environment because of this world. Satan is a prince of this world. And he has avenues to try to destroy your hope, to try to destroy and make you frustrated. Just want to give you something that all you can do is look at it, and when it's all said and done, you can stand right there and say, you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And no matter what the world throws at you, you can look at it and say, come on, let's give her a shot and thrive through it. And I'm not speaking about something that only ministers and pastors. Some of the hardest people to thrive in life are going to be ministers and pastors. Because we deal with the downside what goes on with people day in and day out. But I'm not saying it to look for pity. But, man, you can get out there no matter what life throws at you. Don't you think, wouldn't it be awesome that a relationship breaks up or a health problem comes about or a wealth problem and you say, you know what? I was probably a part of that. Maybe I wasn't. Maybe I'm just a victim of it. But you know what? Praise God. I can do His will. I can be His vessel. No matter what this world has placed me in, I can be His vessel and do His will because I'm a child of God. Because Satan wants to strip that from you, and I'm here today saying if I can give you something where he can't strip it, or if he's trying to, you can push him off. Where do we go? We turn to the Word of God. Because that's pretty much got it all. Because it's got what to do and he's got examples. The first scripture I want to share is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Paul writes this, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and external weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Verse 17, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and external weight and glory. What that is, you know, I always want the Lord to fix. I'm a flatlander, okay? When I drive, I want flat land, smooth roads, no hills, no mountains. I'm terrified of the roads that go up in mountains and you look down 3,000 or 4,000 feet. Because you know what my mind says? I can almost imagine my vehicle doing somersaults down that hill. I'm a flatlander. I like things easy. But what I've learned is when things aren't easy, when sometimes they're a little painful and you get through the other end, I am stronger and I have learned. And I've been able to help people through it. It's like if you go into a workout place like Park Avenue or Anytime Fitness, and so you go in there and you want to get healthy. You know, you want to get your muscles in shape. You want to get healthy. You want to be able to be healthy so you can be doing more. So you don't grunt when you're getting out of a chair. Or dropping something on the floor and wondering who you can get to pick it up for you. So you do this stuff. And you get in and they show you and you learn how to do it, right? And you're doing your exercises and after a while you're like getting kind of proficient at it. Guess what you can do now if someone else comes in that was where you were 6 months before? You can actually help them and share with them, right? You can show them how to use the equipment. You can show them what they need to do. When we know the scriptures and we know the Lord and we're living it and we're living a righteous life and we're seeking after Him, we're learning things that we can share with other people. And sometimes, like with weightlifting, and those exercises, where the gain comes is at the very end, when you don't think you can take that extra rep. That's where the gain comes. The rest of it was just a warm-up until those last 1, 2, or 3 reps. And that's how life is. Do that. But Paul's talking about keep your focus and trust on the reality. This world that we're living in is temporary. Amen? Now, I say that, but I know in all of our hearts, it's the world we live in. It's the right now. It's the real time, right? And when things don't go right in the real time, they affect our hearts, just like it would have affected Paul's. And Paul's maybe speaking to himself. He says, man, when they want to stone me in these cities, when these Jewish people come and rip me apart and try to trick me into certain scriptures, when all this is going on, I got to keep thinking, Lord, I'll just keep doing what you want me to do, because this is only temporary. And I'm going to thrive and do what you want me to do here. But I know eternity is after my last breath. Keep focus. Keep your trust. Don't let this present craziness and confusion in the world screw us up. Next scripture, Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me, and you will find me, when you search for me with all your heart. No matter what's going on in life, wherever you are right now, or people around you, God's aware of it. God is aware of it. Now, God allows us to live in this life where the prince of the world we're living in is Satan and coordinating things. He allows the good and the bad to occur to us. And I do appreciate when he reaches down with miraculous hands and influences something that benefits my life. But for the most part, he looks and he says, John, it's the world. This is what happened when you give 6.5-7 billion people their own self-will. Things are going to happen. Okay? But I'll tell you what, I'm telling you how I built people. I'm telling you how I want you to live. And through the ups and the downs, the valleys and the mountaintops, I want to see if you trust me enough and believe in me enough to live how I'm asking you to live and to do what I'm asking you to do. Because the world, John, is going to be against you. Most of the people you're going to deal with, John, do not agree with you. And they're going to call you a religious nutter, fanatic, or whatever. But you believe in me enough to do it. He's aware. And he says, you know, even when you think, and you're praying, and John, I hear your prayers. I know you want me to come down and fix this situation. By the way, John, you kind of made it yourself. But even those situations that you had nothing to do with, and you want, you're praying in to, for me to come down and fix it. I'm not going to, John. Because this is one of those exercises where you're going to get stronger through it. Because you're going to learn that you're mine, and you've chosen to be my child. And I know that. And I will give you the power. Nobody and nothing has the power to rip you away from me. And I will give you the power to get through it. And I will get you, I give you the power to cross whatever river comes across you. That has helped me so much. Those scriptures, and now I want to give you a couple quick examples. Who here has heard about the Israelites being slaves in Egypt? Raise your hand. Right? The Israelites were slaves in Egypt under the Pharaoh. And the story goes that God talks to Moses, Moses talks to Pharaoh, they have a bunch of plagues. Finally, the oldest male animal and human, if they didn't have the Passover blood, died as one of the plagues, and Pharaoh says, enough, get these people away from me, get these people out. So all these Israelites, Jews, Hebrews, one and the same, were asked to leave. Get out, go. Probably a couple million of them. And one morning, that was it. They spent probably the whole next day just heading out of town, heading out of Egypt. And not only did they head out, but they wanted to go so bad that the people were giving them stuff. What'll it take for you to leave? Here, have some gold, have some silver. Here, just get out. So they get out, and they're thinking, this, hey, this is pretty cool, right? We're on our own. And then after a while, we're on our own. And Moses says, well, follow me. We ain't never been here. So Moses takes him out, and they spend a couple days. And this is where we pick up. And it's going to be in Exodus 14. I'm going to start with verses 1 through 8. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pi Hiroroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite of Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. Now I'm going to come back. I got a map that'll kind of help understand this. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. So at this point, the story goes that as God was directing Moses, and Moses was leading the Israelites, he led them to a place that looked like they were really confused. They'd never been there before. They didn't know exactly where to go. They were trusting that Moses knew the big guy and was bringing them where they should be going. But they really didn't know, and nothing seemed to make any sense, to the point that here they're really vulnerable. They find themselves in a spot of being so vulnerable that Pharaoh was going to come after them, and they're like, what are we going to do? That vulnerable feeling. Because sometimes as we're going through life, this is our first shot. And sometimes the things that we experience, it's our first time at it. And we're thinking, well, Lord, why did you bring me here? Why are you doing this to me? Back to, he'll always give you the power to cross that river, whatever it would be. Verse 5. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servant was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? That we have let Israel go from serving us. So he made ready his chariots, and he took his people with them. Also he took 600 choice chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, with the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So, there's a click on that map. So on this map, what it was is to the upper left-hand corner, there's a, in the Bible, it says they came out of Succoth, S-U-C-C-O-U-T-H. And this is the map that they took. So they were walking as a group down kind of this flat area by the Gulf of Suez, which is the Red Sea. And by around, you can see where it's Etham, day 16. So they go up, and the predicament is this. Number one, the Lord would not take them the short route into the Promised Land. Okay? The short route is north of there, and their short route is just take off, go to the northeast, kind of thread you've got the Mediterranean Sea. You can be into the Promised Land in about 10 days with a group that size, maybe a little longer. But you can take it's not a shortcut, that's a direct route to the Promised Land from Egypt. But the Lord knew that this group of people did not have the organization or the strength to survive going into the land of Canaan, the Promised Land. They would get eaten up and spit out, and they had no idea even how to live together. So the Lord takes them on this different route, and they go to the south. And now all of a sudden, where it says Etham, up near the top, day 16, they get to the top of this kind of a plain area, and what happens is you've got water to the east, mountains to the north, and mountains to the west. They're stuck. Oh, now where do we go? Like, you know. And so they head back to where it says camp days 17 through 25. And so at that point, they come down, and now they're camped there. Now they realize that the Egyptians are after them. So I was like, we're like totally stuck. We got mountains to the west. We got mountains to the north. We got water and no boats to the east. And the Egyptians are coming with all these chariots, and they're going to be zipping around that point anytime, and they're going to want to get us. A lot of us are going to die, and the rest of us are going to really go back into slavery. So they were trapped. But you know, sometimes we feel that way in our life. You ever do that? Sometimes we feel like we put ourselves into a corner. Short, could be financially. Okay, we had a business. My wife and I had a business, and we spent every penny we had to keep this business open. Every penny. And it didn't work. Now what? Felt trapped. How do you feel when you feel away? You feel hopeless. You feel frustrated. You feel like, God, what are you doing? I thought you told me to get into this. I had our realtor was a strong Christian. Our banker was a strong Christian. Our lawyer was a strong Christian. We all prayed to get into this business. And it failed. What? What are you doing? And you get this feeling. You got nothing. You got no money. No one's going to lend you money. You don't have any rich friends or relatives are going to give you. No one's going to bail you out. No one's going to come and buy the business. You're stuck. I kind of felt like the Israelites sitting there at camps at days 17 through 25. And guess what? And the bankers were going to come, and the manufacturers were going to come, and they were going to take everything. And they did. But the Red Sea opened for Kim and I. It's like the best thing that could have ever happened at that point in time. The Lord had brought us right where we had to be. I'd learned my lessons. We learned our lessons. Our relationship between the two of us got stronger. We got through it, and we came out the other side stronger in so many ways than we were ever beforehand. Sometimes you thank God for unanswered prayers. But in our flesh, so many times we find ourselves in these corners, and God gives us enough strength to get through it. Because what he did, as the Egyptians came, he opened up the Red Sea, they walked across the Red Sea, got to the other side, and not only did they get to the safety of the other side, but while the Egyptians were chasing him into the Red Sea, it came down upon them and drowned them. Took care of their enemies. God's right there. Next scripture is in Numbers chapter 21, verses 6 through 9. Some of you probably know that, maybe some of you don't. But so now they're out in the wilderness. Again, it's first time out there. They really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. They're just kind of living for the moment. Numbers 21 shares this. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Part of it is the people were complaining. They just weren't naive. They were just really having a hard time. You know how when things don't go your way, you got a bad attitude? Maybe you don't. I did. And you get a bad attitude, and you want to just kind of reach out and vent, and you just, it's not a good place to be. That's kind of where the Israelites were. And so what the Lord does is, you want to, I was saying he's got a sense of humor. He says, you think you got a bad attitude now? Hang on. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord, that he take away the serpent from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Okay, so they were bad attitude. And it was all about them, and they're striking out. And the Lord says, fine, here's what's going to happen. And he sends these serpents, and they're biting them, and people are dying from the bite and the poison from these bites or the infections. And the people are like, oh, come to Moses. So then the Lord says to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent. He put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when they looked upon the bronze serpent, he lived. On that picture there, the Lord did not take the biting serpents away, did he? He did not take them away right away. But he said, if you get bit, wherever you are in the camp, you might be 1 or 2 miles from where this pole was. But you know where the pole is. You might be a ways away. But if you get bit and you want to live, you do everything in your power as soon as possible to come look upon that pole. And as soon as you look upon that pole, you will live. Now I'm sure, like you and I, if I'm far away and it's going to take a lot of energy, and I just got bit, and not everyone dies, right? Didn't say everyone died. So maybe I'll be one that doesn't die. Maybe I'll just wait it out. Men are bad at this. I don't feel good. I'm a little tight in the chest. I'll be fine. But anyways, so those that would take the effort to do that, see, look at, when you've done something, when I've done something or you've done something, it begins tearing away at your soul. When something's going on and you're feeling that you're just, you can feel your life kind of sucking out, your will to live kind of being sucked out of you, it starts tearing apart your trust in God and it starts tearing apart your faith in God. Right? Because you're hurting. You just got bit by life. What do you do? I got to run to the cross. I got to run and say, back to what Paul had said earlier, this life that we're living is just temporary. Look to the eternal. I have to come back to the cross and say, Lord, it's really all about you. You died. You opened the door to eternal life, and I can be with you. It puts everything back in order when I come back and I look at the cross and I look at our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like when they got bit by the serpent and they came and looked their faith. They looked at the brass. So when the world is having an impact on you, whether it be the news, social media, internet, things going on in your life, come back and look at Christ. Telling you, it works when it puts it in order. Will he fix everything? Maybe not. Another scripture, but I'm not going to go into it, but it's in Mark 14, verses 66 and 72. And I'll just tell you a quick story. So anyways, the Christians are growing. The Jews are getting frustrated because the Christians are growing, and Herod, the king, takes James, one of the apostles, and beheads him. And after he beheads him, all the Jews are like, yay, this is awesome, Herod, you're the greatest, keep it up. So Herod's getting, well, cool, I got a little good, they really like that. So he gets a hold of Peter, throws him into jail, throws him into prison. And he's like, cool. Yeah, this is a story in Acts chapter 12, 1 through 16. He throws him into prison. And not only throws him into prison, they're not really sure about these Christians. So Peter's in prison, and he's got one hand here chained to a soldier, and one hand here chained to a soldier. Peter ain't getting away. Because what happens when you threw him into prison, there's a big holiday festival coming up. He wasn't going to do anything until after the festival. So he's going to have Peter where he wants him. Well, it looks pretty, you and I in that spot. People against you, king against you, you're in prison, and you're chained to Roman soldiers, or you're chained to soldiers. You're like really stuck, right? What does the Lord do? The Lord had use for Peter. The Lord knew that Peter, he wanted Peter to do something. And when the Lord wants something done, ain't nothing going to stop him. So all of a sudden, Peter, the soldiers are all snoozing at night. And the story goes, an angel comes down. Excuse me. And does exactly this.
No.
You're Peter. But he pushes Peter. He says, hey, wake up. Peter looks like, and he looks up and there's an angel. He says, come on. And all of a sudden, the chains fall from Peter's arms. You don't believe this, Acts 12, 1 through 16. The chains fall from his arms. And the angel says, come on, hurry, let's get out. Peter's like, wow. And he's walking along and the soldiers don't say anything. And he goes and he's in the inner prison. You can't get any more locked up. He walks through the one set, and there's the guards. They don't say or do anything. And he goes to the last set. Guards don't say or do anything. And then it says the gate for the whole prison, just like in Dark Shadows, opens all by itself. So they get outside the prison, and Peter's like, and the angel leaves, and Peter comes to his senses and goes, wow, it actually happened. So now this is nighttime. Peter's walking. He figures now everyone's over at Mary, the mother of John's house, and they're all praying for Peter. They're all praying for Peter. Come on, we got to get him out. Let's pray. So Peter goes and says, I think they're all over at Mary's house. She goes and knocks on the door. Young lady comes up, opens the door. Who is it? It's me. Or says, it's Peter. And she goes, looks back at the people. Hang on. Didn't open the door. Heard Peter's voice. Says, it's Peter. She goes back to the adults and says, yeah, Peter's at the door. And what do they say? Let him in? No, they say, nah. It ain't Peter. Trust me. Because Peter's locked up in prison, and that's what we're praying about. Well, it was Peter, and they let him in. When you think that there's no out, God will give you the power to cross that river, but not until you're in that river. God's got something for you, and you are living for him, and you're a vessel. He's going to take care of it. The last one I'm going to move is the thief on the cross. And it's in Luke 23 through 43. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, that the man has done nothing wrong. So the three people that got crucified on the day that Jesus got crucified, there's two thieves next to Peter. And one of them was ripping on Jesus and saying, yeah, if you are the Son of God, go ahead. Use your power. Get down. Get on your own. The other one goes, buddy, you got no clue. You and I are here because we screwed up. We may not like it, but we got caught doing something wrong, and we're here because of what we did. This man did nothing wrong, and here he is. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. So even when you think it can't get any worse, even when someone thinks that they have done so bad that God would have nothing to do with them. Because sometimes I will sit there and I know what the Lord wants me to do, and I don't do it. And not only don't do it, all of a sudden, maybe I just say, you know what? It's too hard. Not worth it. And I'm thinking, now what do? I just have to come back to that cross and come back to the Lord. It's all about you. This is only temporary. I want to be with you forever. Let's close with a song. Hallelujah. Kind of knew they were going to play that song. So the last example I want to bring up is when Peter denied Christ in the courts. Could you imagine being there, this man that you've spent 3.5 years with, a close friend? Could you imagine the feeling of Peter and the fear that Peter had that would make him say, no, I don't know him. No, never been with him. No, I'm not a part of that group. Sometimes in our lives, we know the Lord. We know what He wants, but we step away and we do things that are of the world because we're afraid. We don't let our light shine when we're with a group that might be working with. We might even try to act like them. We might even say things or joke with them on things that are ungodly to be because we're afraid if they know who my Lord is and who is directing my life. And you feel when that happens, you feel like a dime with a set of legs. That means you're really small. And one thing I know is when I have felt that way, all of a sudden it takes a little bit and I say, I got nowhere to go except to Him. I know this world is wrong. I know He's right. I know I did wrong. I denied. I was ashamed of my God. But I would come back and get on my knees. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. And He reaches down and He picks you up. And He says, I love you anyway. Come on, give me a hug. Follow me. That's the God we serve, and that's where we want to be. Let's stand and close in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, You, as we've said before, have so blessed us. You've blessed us with the life of Your Son, who not only taught what You told Him to teach us, but He lived how You asked Him to live as an example. He died with no sin because He took our sin upon Him. I ask that Your hand would be upon us this morning, and those that are online, and those that are here, and those that are unable to be here. Let us be the light to the lost world, and let us look towards You for the eternal hope that we have to help us through this world in which we presently live in. We are in the world, but we're not of it. Let us put in our hearts through Your Holy Spirit that we are Your children and we are part of Your kingdom of God here on earth and the kingdom of heaven which is eternal. We love You and we thank You and we pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you. It's good to see you all and have a great Sunday.